Well, all right, let me jump over into the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just, you know, every single day we do this, giving you some thoughts, some things we put together, but the Right Side Way is how we always start the show, and today I'm calling this one Save Our Kids. And I'll start off by saying there is something special about baby laughter. I mean, listen, I'm telling you, if you're having a bad day, just get on your phone and Google baby laughter, and in seconds, you'll be smiling. I mean, it has an unabashed depth to it. Baby laughter is like real. Baby laughter is from the heart. There's an innocence to it. There's an absolute purity. It is joy expressed at levels that adults can just not match. That's because babies are special. Everything's a wonder. Nothing is old hat to them. Everything's new. As babies develop into children, we can marvel at the various stages of their growth and development. And truthfully, I guess really every age has its own milestones. Speaking of milestones, though, this past weekend was a milestone for Charlene and I, or as we are known to our grandkids, Cap and Sweetie. So Cap and Sweetie, this past weekend, we had our 5-year-old grandson come stay with us all by himself. It was big doings, y'all. He liked to say he was on vacation. And we did it all, man. Friday night, we got pizza at a little place down by the river. Saturday morning, we had donuts and scrambled eggs for breakfast. Then we took off to the McWayne Center in Birmingham, which was just like way cool fun and kept him running from one experiential science exhibit to another, which, by the way, also included an IMAX movie of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And now at 5 years old, since he's seen the movie, he tells me he wants to be a paleontologist. What 5-year-old can say paleontologist? Mine can. All right, then. Sunday after church, he was supposed to go home, but he convinced us with some amazing persuasive skills, of which I was very proud, that he needed one more night of vacation at Cap and Sweetie's. So we took the top off the Jeep and went to Sonic for a hot dog. I don't know who was more exhausted, that 5-year-old little man or the Cap and the Sweetie, but I wouldn't trade that time for the world. Not at all. Kids are absolutely a gift from God. And I know, by the way, that parenting can be hard. We raised ours. They're adults now. But I would bet that some of y'all out there are also grandparenting in the absence of actual parents. So thank you for what you're doing there. Because, yes, it's worth it. Yes, children are truly a gift from God. But that's also why I'm concerned. That's why I want to direct my comments for a few minutes to our kids. Our culture is, on the one hand, doing all that we can for our kids. And on the other hand, we're destroying them at a rate never before seen. As a nation, as a culture, we're going to be held accountable one day. Look, it's not enough to say that we were good stewards with our possessions or our skills and talents or our economy, or our natural resources, or our time. One of the greatest forms of stewardship that any culture can be measured against is a simple question. What did you do with the children? You may recall a horrible story from a few years ago. There was a troubled young girl in public schools in Appomattox County, Virginia. She was 14 years old. The young lady decided she wanted to transition to being a trans male, she called it. Her school system decided to help her, did not tell the parents that every day at school they were working with their daughter to change her identity. They also didn't tell the parents that the young lady was being bullied by other students. Now, the parents were apparently out of touch, but the school system was also way out of line. The secrecy and the bullying apparently became too much for the young lady, and she ran away, where she was preyed upon by child sex traffickers. She was taken to Baltimore. She was kept in a locked room where she was repeatedly raped. But she was eventually rescued by the FBI, except that there was an activist Baltimore public defender by the name of Anissa Khan, and she refused to return the girl to her parents because they would not affirm her new trans identity, she said. This public defender, Khan, even threw away the letters the parents wrote and sent their daughter and led the girl to believe they did not want her. Khan even put the young lady in a boys' group home. When a judge ordered Khan to return the girl to her parents, Khan chose to appeal the ruling. Meanwhile, the stress on the young girl had reached a point that she ran away again, and she was abducted by another sexual predator and taken all the way to Texas. But Texas authorities rescued her for a second time, and they immediately returned her to her parents. Look, as you might imagine, the parents sued the Baltimore Public Defender's Office and the Appomattox school system. Those events occurred back in 2021, and just a few months ago this year, in 2024, the activist public defender Anissa Khan was actually dismissed from the lawsuit, believe it or not, but only on technical grounds. From what I've gathered, though, in the several articles that I've reviewed about the young lady, she does appear to be doing well. And Virginia state legislators, they later introduced legislation to be named for her. that would prevent any school system from ever withholding information from parents again. And I hope, it is my sincere hope, that some well-deserved justice comes for that sweet young lady who had her entire childhood robbed from her by a combination of activism, arrogance, indifference, and sexual predators. I mean, at every turn, society failed her. At every turn. Now, I can't speak for her parents. I don't know if they were tuned out or just kept out. But I do know this. Everything I can see is they never stopped trying to bring her home. But if kids are a gift from God, and I believe they really are, then how is it that we as a society have allowed so much pervasive and abusive behavior to be inflicted on them? I mean, on the one hand, we're seeing more and more kids who remain in like a perpetual state of adolescence, while on the other, we see them forced into adult decisions about their sexual identity. The magazine, the journal, Scientific American, ran an article a few years ago. It said that the age 25 is the new 18. The trends are there that many kids see no reason to grow up, and they accept what my daughter used to jokingly refer to as adulting. Now they don't go for it. They want to live in mommy's basement. I don't know whether it be a result of the digital age or helicopter parents or just a willingness to simply mollycoddle teens into their 20s. The fact remains that less of our younger society is fully prepared and even willing to engage with society at the next level. There's one researcher from Columbia University that stated that 25 is the new 18 and delayed adolescence is no longer a theory, but a reality. Delayed adolescence. Well, if that's true, then we are seeing the immaturing of society. Think about that. I coined the phrase here, the immaturing of society. But yet we tell children they need to make adult decisions about sex and sexual identity. Makes no sense. States like California allow kids as young as 12, to make their own healthcare decisions without parental consent. But yet studies show that upwards of 80% of children who have gender dysphoria, they embrace their own biological sex as they emerge from puberty. But children who face the social contagion of constant pressure to follow their own truth, get medical intervention, even surgeries, they wind up more often than not with a lifetime of counseling and medication. Whatever the case, it's socially oxymoronic of us as a culture to, on the one hand, raise up children to be children past their prime, big man childs and girly women who have no desire or motivation to exit mommy's basement. At the same time, though, we have a society that will tell a child they need to understand and accept and even participate in adult versions of sexuality. Even to the extent of allowing children who cannot drive or legally sign a contract or marry or join the military to make a decision that they are not what their biology says they are. We've apparently reached the zenith of social schizophrenia. On the one hand, we tell a child to never grow up. On the other hand, we demand that they be treated as an adult about sexual decisions. Look, we got to rein this in. We have to affirm our kids. We have to love our kids and remain involved in their lives. We must love them enough to tell them no and teach them responsibility, but yet shield them from the burdens of adulthood before their time. They will be adults soon enough. And how will they remember their childhood? You see, kids are a gift from God, and we are called to be good stewards of His gifts. Go listen to some baby laughter. Tell me I'm wrong. That's a wrap for The Right Side Way.